If you would open up your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. I called your remembrance this morning. When we were going through Hosea, we talked about a particular figure in the Bible known as Phinehas. And what we're going to be discussing this afternoon is the zeal that Phinehas had for the will of God. And his zeal, of course, would be the reason that so many were saved. Now, we know that many fell in this account, but ultimately, by Phinehas' actions, the wrath of God was turned away from the congregation. And that type of zeal for the will of God, not zeal for self-will, and not zeal for self-intent, zeal for the will of God, the true, pure, perfect will of God, that type of zeal is the right type of zeal to have even as Christians today under our New Testament law. Phinehas was a man of God with much zeal. It was the right kind of zeal and actions that came from that zeal, and that it was in line with the law of God at that time in the Old Testament. Contextually, Balak, if you remember with me in Numbers 25, if you proceed to the previous chapters, remember that Balaam is involved here, the king of Moab, Balak, is involved, and he's trying to get the Israelites to sin. He notices that they set up next door, and that they're coming here, and they're very powerful people. They've already destroyed multiple other people in their path, and they've done that by the power of God, and Balak knows it. He knows that God is ultimately the source of Israel's strength. Numbers 23 and verse 11 confirms this. If you read it with me, Numbers 23 verse 11, then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies. And look, you have blessed them bountifully." So Balak knew the power of God. He knew that Balaam cursing against the people, and he tried to multiple times, and ultimately Balaam could not say except the will of God. And so nothing that Balak did worked except whenever the women came and the people would commit harlotry and they'd bow down to the gods of the Moabites as well. So all Balak's plots, his schemes, none came to avail except whenever that happened in chapter 25. Whenever they sinned, a plague would come, obviously, from the account and would kill so many, 24,000, as we'll find out. One man would stop it. His name is Phinehas. Read with me Numbers 25, verses 1 through 5 again. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord, out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you, kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor." So the sin that was being committed and the solution to fix it presented. The Israelites commit harlotry and they bow down to foreign gods being the sin that was just committed. Now remember, this is Old Testament law and they're abiding by what God tells them to do at this time. What was God's instruction? To hang the offenders. Would we do that today under New Testament law? No. If God told us to do it, that's New Testament law, but it's not today. That's not under the New Testament law today. That was Old Testament law. So at this time, they're given specific instructions regarding what to do with these offenders and they do it. To do contrary to the will of God, even that would be sin. Ultimately, the people who are being told to be hung are those who are committing sin anyways, and are ultimately leading or going to death anyways. So it's God's judgment to make and God's justice to make. Israel was joined to these Baal worshipers, and by doing this, they broke the Old Testament covenant. And so if we join ourselves to idolatrous type ways today or anything else, any type of spirit, commit any spiritual idolatry today as Christians, we will also break the New Testament covenant that we were under in parallel. The nation at this time is being polluted. They're being corrupted quickly, as you can see in the text. And quick action had to happen in order to save the people of God. Now notice, Phinehas is not just acting for himself. He's not just acting for his own physical family, but it says he has zeal for God. He's acting on behalf of the people of God. He's acting on behalf of the will of God. And so he's sticking up for the will of God. He's sticking up for the righteous people of God who are doing what's right. And he doesn't want any more people to die from the plague unnecessarily because of the sins of these people who are committing this harlotry in the midst of the camp of Israel. The anger of the Lord is against them. And the only way to stop this plague, Phinehas knows, is to kill these last offenders. Moses obviously commanded the judges as well of Israel to kill their men who were joined to Baal of Peor. They would have had to do this, otherwise it would not have worked in order to lift the plague. As we continue through the Numbers account, we'll look at New Testament comparisons along the way. I would ask you to turn over to John 2. John 2 and verse 13. We'll look at New Testament accounts and characters that we can parallel with the zeal shown here. And I'd say the best example of zeal is who? Jesus. Other people, you know, go to other places, you know, talk of Paul the Apostle or other apostles or other disciples of Christ. But I think the best example of zeal that we can look at is definitely Jesus. Now keep in mind as we're reading this text, at this time Jesus is still under the Old Testament law. This is John chapter 2. And so the New Testament law has not yet been enacted. Jesus is acting as Lord of the temple, as Lord over all forms of worship. He is ultimately God Himself. John 2, 13 through 21, but realize He's still following Old Testament law by doing this. John 2, 13 through 21 says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When He had made a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And He said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of merchandise.' Then His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for Your house has eaten Me up.' So the Jews answered and said to Him," verse 18, "'What sign do You show us since You do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will You raise it up in 3 days? 21, but He was speaking of the temple of His body. Therefore, when He had risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this to them. And they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." So the sin being presented here, what is it? The money changers are in the temple. They're selling and they're doing all types of marketing and business in the temple as if it's the stock, you know, the stock center or whatever. This is the temple of God in the Old Testament. This is where, you know, the primary center of worship for the Old Covenant. This is one of the most honored places as far as the Old Testament covenant goes. And where even God Himself, His presence, where He would manifest Himself in a way for them in order to be able to talk to Him, the high priest. And they're profaning it. They're destroying this. Jesus, knowing the law and being God and Lord over the temple, kicked them out. Psalm 69 and verse 9 is the passage in which it says, "Zeal for Your house has eaten me up." Psalm 69 and verse 9. I encourage you to put a cross reference there. But even here, notice, prophesies of the greatest act of zeal that He ever did. What did Jesus do that was the greatest act of zeal? He died for every last one of us. He died for us when He didn't have to. That was a zealous act on behalf of God and for the will of God to be done. Notice that Phinehas is doing the same thing. And that the greatest example of zeal, ultimately being Jesus, can even be looked at in other Bible characters across the Scriptures who did similar things like Phinehas. But he prophesied of that great act of zeal of dying and resurrecting on the third day, John 2, 19 through 22, as we just read. He was not afraid to maintain God's law. He was not afraid to fight for God's law in the face of enemies. He was not afraid to stand up for what was right. And which of us as Christians would stand up for what was right in the face of going against the New Testament law, if such was being presented in this congregation? Which of us would be willing to stand up against it, whether it be by behavior, whether it be by law breaking, by, you know, breaking worship, the type of worship we're doing if it's improper? Whatever it may be, whatever it is, having that zeal to put a stop to it, having that zeal to even withdraw ourselves from it, or even as elders, being able to take action and even withdraw fellowship. And those things we'll get to momentarily. But this was something under the old law that happens with Phinehas. If you'll refer to 1 Corinthians 5, we're going to read starting in verse 1. What happened with Phinehas was under the old law. We're under a different standard as Christians under the new law. When such sin is among the Lord's church, even so, however, we must purge it out. If the sinner chooses to continue in their sin, whether it be a divisive person, sexually immoral, whatever sin it may be, we shall no longer be in fellowship with a Christian that chooses to fall away in sin, chooses to, or tries to pollute others with it as well. And all of us as Christians should know that. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13. Let's read it together. It is actually reported among, or that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not named among the Gentiles, not even. That a man has his father's wife, and you're puffed up, you have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan. This is the instruction, brethren, for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the sin was presented. God gave the instruction. What were they to do? What are we to do today even? This is an epistle of the New Testament, brethren. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, that their own conscience might be, you know, eventually just realize that it's wrong and they turn back from the error of their ways. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. Another verse likewise to this. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. Start in verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, and that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness, and they eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, here's another instruction: note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You see, we in the church today must also have zeal. We must have zeal to stand up for what's right. We must have zeal to stand up against a brother or a sister in Christ who chooses to fall away in sin, or perhaps is being a divisive person in the church. We have, all of us, not just the elders, have to be willing to stand up against such in a loving manner, not in a feisty or an aggressive or an, you know, angry type manner, but in a loving manner as well. That withdrawal of fellowship concept must also be done in a Christ-like manner and according to the law of God, not in an improper or inappropriate manner. The church today must have zeal, just as the Old Testament back then in that day, Israel was to have zeal for its law. The New Testament, though, we need to understand in clarification, never teaches to do what Phineas did, because we're not under the same law. I make that clarification constantly because some denominations are confused as to what parts of the old law they should follow. You're not supposed to follow any parts of the old law's law. We follow the New Testament. It's done away with, brethren. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 5. Once again, that instruction, what to do, deliver such a one to Satan, that they might return back to God and repent someday. A little leaven leavens the whole lump idea is to purge out the sin before the entire congregation is contaminated with sin. Think about sin as a disease, because that's what it is, the worst disease in the history of mankind, in the history of everything. Sin, evil, being the worst disease ever, destroys the soul, the most precious part of man and woman, the soul. Sin is what destroys it, eradicates it, and just over time destroys until you eventually just choose to separate yourself from God completely without any repentance, without any choice to try to follow God at all. And some people don't even start because of sin's effects and what they choose to take part in it. But go back to Numbers in chapter 25, back to our context, and God gives the command for what Phineas is to do rather now. And he has the zeal to follow God's word and save the congregation. Now, this is what Phinehas is told to do. It's what the Israelites back then were told to do, not us. But he has the zeal. That's the point of this lesson. Another man of God under that testament having zeal for God's will. Numbers 25, 6 through 9. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. So there's an active plague going on in the camp at this time. You can imagine the people dying around you. I mean, this is a serious situation, brethren. The people dying around you, your brethren are dying around you, and there's these two people committing a heinous act in the midst of the camp. Sexual immorality, no doubt. Phinehas, what does he do? As soon as he knows what to do from God, he knows the will of God, he takes a spear and he goes and takes care of it himself right away. He doesn't want one more person to die. He doesn't want this plague to continue for no reason any longer. He wants this sin to be gone. He wants repentance. He wants to get back right with God. He wants the congregation overall to be back right with God and to survive. Phinehas had enough zeal for himself and for the congregation. He stood up for the church. You know, the congregation back then as to what would be for the church today. He stood up for them. He stood up for what was right for the church's sake. He went out of his way. He did what was right. He went to the Israelite Zimri, as we find out later in that text, and the Midianite woman Cosby, who were committing harlotry in the midst of the camp, and he struck a spear through the both of them, presumably during the act. Numbers 25:8. Phinehas' fast acting no doubt saved many more people of Israel from dying of the plague and many souls in the showing of his example to act fast for God's word and stand up for God's word with zeal. Go then in Numbers 25:10 through 18 to finish out this text, and then we'll give a couple more New Testament parallels or examples or things to talk about. Numbers 25:10 through 18 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, Behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cosby, the daughter of Zur, who was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harass you with their schemes, by which they seduce you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of a leader of Midian, their sister, who was killed on the day of the plague because of Peor." So what does God give the credit to? To one man. One man stops this plague. One man saved the congregation. One man saved the congregation even spiritually by his example. People obviously being able to make their own choices, always. But Phinehas showed an amazing example of a zealous act of atonement for the congregation to be saved. If you go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we'll look at a couple New Testament instructions here. When we put this in application to us as Christians today, as far as what we should do when we have contamination in the church among us, elders, what should you do? 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. What? Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So what should elders do? Continue shepherding the flock. This is how we remain zealous for God as the church, and how we save souls on the judgment day, save them from the wrath of God on the judgment day. 1 Timothy 4 and 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. Preachers and teachers of the Word of God, what should you do? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6 says, If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Go over to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and also out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. You fulfill your ministry. So what should preachers and teachers of the Word of God do? Keep on instructing the Word of God. Keep on instructing the brethren in the precious and pure words of God. Not words of myself, not will of myself, but will of God. Instruct the people in that to keep them pure and to continue them furthering their spirit and even study of God's Word, which is truly the greatest way to further one's spirit. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what can we do all together? Romans 12, 9 through 21. See, there's a different categories that I'm trying to parallel here as far as what we are to do today as the church and having zeal for God. Romans 12, 9, start there in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not revenge or not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, what should we do? Minister to one another spiritually. Minister to one another as you have need, and also have the likeness of Christ always in your example. Always behave as Christ would. Always behave as the New Testament would have you to behave, and follow the law of God as is written and as is example. Romans 15:4, short verse. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, or rather 14. Romans 15:14, that is. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, being filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So admonish one another. Take care of one another spiritually. And then also, 1 Peter 5, if you continue there with me in the passage we were reading earlier, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11, we're almost finished. Zealously be submissive to one another in humility and resist the temptations of the devil, as this scripture is going to say. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Start in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What are we to do? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Most of overall, do the will of God. Overall, I say, is a collection of all these things together. Do the will of God. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. 1 Peter 1, and starting in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. These are instructions, brethren, for us right now, here, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves at the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 25, continue to verse 25, we'll be done. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. So ask yourself, how much zeal do you have for God today? What would you be willing to do for God? Would you stand up for God in the face of persecution? Would you run away as the disciples did whenever they were presented with the dilemma of Jesus being taken by the Jews, and they could choose whether to follow Him in that persecution or to run? Of course, they chose to run. And many other things would happen in regards to that. Will you run from Jesus? Or will you also bear that cross? Will you also bear the cross of Christ and stand up for Him? And as Acts 5:29 says, will you obey God rather than man? Phinehas was willing to do that in the face of enemies, in the face of a plague. He was willing to stand up for God and do what was right. What would we be willing to do for God given the same situation? Ask yourself that question. Ask your own hearts today and sincerely be able to answer those things. If you have anything amiss in your life, brethren, if you have some type of sin that you need to get rid of today, well, you need to get rid of it. You need to get back right with your God as Christians. And you need to let us pray with you and take care of that right now. If you have any other needs, prayers for encouragement, if you've been struggling with any type of depression or anxiety, we encourage you that you would let us pray with you. Let us take care of you in this way as well. Prayers for family members, whatever it is, let us help you. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to become one. And brethren, I also encourage you to remember the plan of salvation that you might teach it to others as well. Also, the scriptures alongside. And they're in these brochures if you ever need them. A whole bunch of scriptures I lined out so that you can have all the different references, even example references, in this bulletin right here that we have. If you're not a Christian, believe Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus is the Christ before men. Be baptized into water for remission of your sins to be added to the kingdom of God. And remain faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. There are other scriptures that I can give you, like Romans 10:1-4, Galatians 1:11-17, and also Titus 11-15. Always be zealous for good works, brethren. That's the thing. If you heard nothing else, I hope that you hear as the last part of this lesson. Be zealous for good works and be zealous for God. Stand up for your God. Stand up for the will of God and do it in a kind way, do it in a loving way, just as Jesus did. But be willing to stand up for Him. And as COVID came and attacked the nation and attacked even the church, as it seemed like it did so terribly, and everybody ran away off to their homes and never showed up for years after that, and some still not showing up, what would you do? Would you stand up for God? Would you return back to worship whenever the times are okay again? Certainly there was a time whenever there was a scare. But other situations like that are presented in our lifetime. Would we run away from God for years and years and not worship Him as we're supposed to together? Or would we continue to just neglect His will? Let's ask ourselves that question, and this is a challenge to all of us. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.